so the power of speaking God's word. I'm going to have this slide up here. It's really talking about how the impossible in our lives becomes possible through speaking out God's word. And it's very different. As I was saying last week, it's not about praying to God and asking God to do things for us, but it's speaking out God's word. And there's different circumstances and situations in our lives where this is required. And one of those we're going to look at today is healing of the body, physical healing. And at the end of the service, I want to give people opportunity for me to lay hands on you to receive the healing in your body. There's a number of us that are sick, some of us that have been sick for a long time, and some of us who have a sickness in our body which is just a bit too much for our faith at the moment because the pain is a lot. And some of us are ground down over months and years by sickness. And some of us, we think we're too old to be healed, and we've kind of created an area for ourselves where we don't expect to be healed, although we want to be. And we wouldn't complain if we were. And that's what the Lord has for us today. He has that offer for us today, and we can live in the good of that as we hear God's spoken word to us today. So we're going to look at a great passage of scripture together. We're going to read together 17 verses of the Bible. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. This is a great passage around the healing ministry of Jesus. And it starts off in doubt, and it ends in tremendous faith all around the character of God. And it builds and builds and builds throughout and gets more powerful as the chapter goes on. We're just going to read half of it, but I will allude to the rest of it in my message. So let's start. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. And when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." Wow. Awesome. I've been to the place where this happened. It's pretty barren now. But it's basically a really large hillside, not a mountain, but a hillside. And it's right on the edge of Lake Galilee. And as you walk down the hill, you get closer to the lake. And nowadays, you can just walk straight to the lake and into the lake. But then there was a town in the way So Jesus had been up on the hillside and he'd been speaking the Sermon on the Mount, one of his longest ever sermons, longer than mine. And after that moment, he then started to walk down the hill. And as he walked down the hill, he was approached by a man with leprosy. And then he healed him. And as he then walked into Capernaum, which was in the way of him getting to the lake, a centurion approached him with a sickness concern, and Jesus healed that concern. And then in Capernaum, he stayed in Peter's house, and then he healed the mother-in-law. And then in the evening, lots of other people came to him. And in the morning, Jesus eventually got away from everyone on another hillside. And when his disciples came to find him and said, "Everyone's down in the village now looking for you," Jesus said, "Let's go across this lake. Because that's why I came down from the mountainside, through the town, healed all those people, and now I want to get in the boat. And I want to go to the other side. And actually, that's why I've come to the earth." And so when Jesus crossed the lake, then he cast out some more demons and healed more people. So it's a really big time for healing in Jesus' ministry. And it's all coming from a mountain, from a hillside, down across a lake, over 2 days. So you're just reading here, 2 days in the life of Jesus. He was busy, wasn't he? And so you can see, you know, when John says at the end of his gospel, if there's not enough books on the earth to write down the things that Jesus did. And if this is just 2 days, I mean, what would happen if someone wrote a book about that service that Jesus had with all those people that was healed? He was literally healing people left, right, and center all the time. So I want to take you through this journey. We want to build through here. And first of all, the first story that we have is of a leper. And the leper comes questioning the will of God for healing. He's seen Jesus heal earlier, before the Sermon on the Mount. He's heard Jesus traveling around the villages around Galilee, as we read in chapter 5. And he knows that Jesus can heal. And that isn't his question. His question is, will you heal me? And so he goes up to Jesus and he asks him that question. And Jesus reveals God's will for healing in a very simple exchange. The man says, "If," and Jesus says, "I am. I am willing." And I believe today that God wants to set some people on a journey. On a journey from that place of wondering whether God is willing. Throughout my Christian life, I have met so many people who wonder whether it is God's will for him to heal them. They don't doubt whether it's God's will to heal, and they don't doubt whether God can heal, but they do doubt whether God wants to heal them and whether he wants to do it now. And God wants to move us from that place into a different place. Recently, just after Christmas, a lady contacted me and wanted me to pray with her for healing. She had quite a serious condition that was hindering her from walking. And a message had got to me through someone in the congregation. And I sensed in my spirit I needed to pray about this before saying yes to meeting with her. I am willing to pray for people to be healed, but that was just the first thing that went through my mind. And I remember praying in the morning and said, "Lord, why do you want me to pray about this first?" And the Lord said a very simple thing to me. He said, "Make sure you're the last person she ever goes to for prayer." I thought, "What do you mean by that?" And as if by magic, the Lord answered my thoughts and said, "She's gone to lots of people, and I want her to come to me." And I thought, "Oh, well, that's really simple. We all know that already, Lord." You know, just telling the Lord what to do, just in case he wasn't aware of what to do. I ventured again. Anyway, so I thought, okay, great. And as I was reading through the Psalms that morning, I came upon a psalm, which I won't share with you because it's personal to this lady, but it summed up that scenario. It summed up that someone was going to others for help. And in that psalm, they turned and they came to God. As you know, a lot of the Psalms start with bad news, bad news, bad news. And then at a certain point it turns, doesn't it? And the person starts to look to the nature and character of God. And I thought, right, well, that's all I've got. The Lord didn't even tell me to pray for her. That's not good, is it? Asked to pray for by the pastor, he doesn't pray for you. But anyway, that's all I had. I didn't want to disobey. So she came along and she walked into this room here with a Zimmer frame, but she was just a little bit older than me. It's always helpful when praying for the sick not to look at them, because doubt can fill your heart exceedingly quickly. She came and sat down and poured out all her problems. And she had some problems. And I said, look, let me just stop you. Let me just tell you the word which God has said to me. And I just said to her quite firmly, I'm to be the last person you ever ask for prayer over this issue. And I've got this verse for you in Psalms. I want you to read it. And then I want you to pray. And then we're going to go our separate ways. She wasn't a member of this church and isn't a member of this church. So she read through the psalm. And then she said to me, do you know what? I've been thinking that. So I looked at her and said, let's just do that then. So she prayed this short prayer, a remarkable prayer. And then we had a few pleasantries and a nice chat. And then she kind of hobbled out. And that was it. And I thought, oh, well, see what happens. I bumped into her on the day of one of the England matches, and she came up to me with a great smile, no Zimmer frame anywhere to be found, standing upright, and she said, I'm 95% well. And I said, well, it shows you, doesn't it, what happens when you go to the Lord Jesus himself. And she said with a smile, yes, it does. Wasn't that amazing? Praise God. I'll just clap the Lord for you. I'll just do that. It was just awesome. I mean, talk about blowing the Lord's trumpet. That's just amazing. She went to the Lord and she prayed, and the Lord is almost finished healing her. Isn't that great? Fantastic. And here's the thing which I think that God has for us today. I think God wants to move people from his will to his word. That's what I think. That's what God's put in my heart this week. I think there are people here that are struggling, not with whether God can heal, not with whether God does heal, not with whether he's the healer, but will he heal me now? Can you imagine if you went to a doctor around the corner, the surgery around the corner, and you sat down in front of the doctor, and he put his stethoscope on you and listened to your issues and concerns, and he sat back in his chair and said, yes, I know what the problem is with you, and you need this. And he told you one of those very long names of antibiotics that you need. Have you ever gone to down the road here and asked for the very long name of the antibiotics? No. We just give them the piece of paper. Let them read that. And he gives it to him. Can you imagine if the doctor sat back in his chair and said, yeah, that's what you need. And then just paused. And you kind of said, and so are you going to give that to me then? And the doctor says, no. It's not my will to do that. I know that I'm a doctor and I can administer healing to you, but it's not my will today. Do you know what I do in that situation? I'd stand up and say, you are going to give me it now because I pay your salary. That's what I'd say, taxpayers' money. Well, there's something even greater beholden on God. He is the healer. Can you imagine if that doctor sat back and said, I just think it would do you some good to work on your character a bit before I get, come back next week and I'll give you the antibiotics. You wouldn't, would you? You'd go down the road to another doctor and get the antibiotics off them. But how we've spiritualized reasons why we're not healed. And God wants us to not spiritualize it anymore. There's no reason higher than God's reason. And he is the healer. And Jesus solves that answer for us here. He is willing. So if you have an if today, that's fantastic news, isn't it? And he wants to move us from that if onto his word, from his will to his way. The second story takes us on a little journey, a little bit deeper from that issue, moves us on to God's word. This Roman centurion comes to Jesus, and I love Jesus' attitude here. Jesus says to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion doesn't even ask Jesus. Do you notice that? He doesn't say, "Lord, will you heal me?" Jesus didn't turn around to him and go, "Oh, is your servant having terrible suffering? Oh dear. Never mind. Why don't you follow me?" He doesn't say that. He just takes the initiative. "I will go and heal him." That's the compassion of the Lord. The difference between compassion and mercy is that compassion takes the initiative. Mercy you have to ask for. But compassion, Jesus just does it. And Jesus was full of compassion at this moment and said, "I'll go and heal him." And the guy said, the centurion said, No. "I'm not worthy enough for you to come." But that didn't stop him from receiving healing. And there are many of us who still struggle with our own sense of worthiness before God. But that doesn't stop Jesus healing. You may have thought to yourself, "When I'm really secure in my identity in Christ, then I'll be healed. When I feel better about myself, then I'll be healed. When God strengthens my character, then I'll be healed." No. Jesus loves to heal sinners and unbelievers. That's what he does. He is gracious and merciful. And this is what's happening here. And so the centurion says, "No, don't come. Just say the word. That's all that needs to be done." Just like I was told by the Lord to give that word from Psalm to the lady with the Zimmer frame. Say that word, be done with it. And the reason why the centurion had that faith is because he understood authority. He was a centurion himself, and he realized that Jesus was the Son of God, Lord over all, realized, acknowledging that he was in control of everything, and he just had to say the word. How fantastic. In fact, one translation says that Jesus was astonished. Now, we're not going to get into issues of God's sovereignty and whether he knows all things and whether he expected that to happen. But we can say to say that Jesus is allowed to express astonishment. And he did. But Jesus took it the next level. And he started to do something which I believe God wants to help us with. How is it that we get from will to word? There's something missing in the middle. How do we get from will to word? If we can accept that God wants to heal us today now, because he's already said it in his word, that's the nature of Jesus. And if we can, like the centurion, believe, yes, Jesus just needs to say the word and I'll be healed, what is the gap in the middle? The gap is very simply this. It's God's ways. We find out God's will, and then we find out God's ways, and then we accept his word. And we see God's way right here. Jesus made a teaching point about it. He said, faith is the way. And he said something really astounding, really strong, and really shocking to the people around him. And it's something that I mentioned in our series of the wrath of God, which I know some people struggle with. But Jesus talked about people, Jews, who were called and chosen to be with him forever, but they weren't going to end up there. They were going to end up in hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there is that element to many of Jesus' parables where people who expect and maybe have a right to be in heaven are not in the end. And Jesus always gives the same answer, always gives the same reason, because it's faith. And so Jesus says here about the last day, the heavenly feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb with the church. That's us. That's going to be the fantastic moment in heaven. We're all looking forward to a party in heaven. That's why heaven is described as a party, because it's basically a celebration of a marriage. And you know how much dancing and singing and eating and drinking and laughing is done at a wedding. And Jesus is describing this feast that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the three great men of faith, the great promise that we're hearing about in what's in the Bible is based all on these three guys. That God said, you are going to be the father of many nations and there's going to be a great nation after you. And the whole world, many will come to know me through faith. And Jesus is saying, here we have a centurion who's a Roman. He's not a Jew. He isn't receiving the promises. He's not had the law given to him by Moses. He's not got a history of being taken through the desert and seeing amazing miracles. He's not had the amazing King David. He's not had time in exile and been brought back out and see God build the whole nation of Israel again. He's not been expecting a Messiah, like all of you guys. And yet, he has greater faith than you. The reason was because he understood authority. And Jesus says this faith is the key. Don't just think because you have Abraham, Isaac and Jacob as your father, you will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll only be at the marriage supper of the Lamb if you believe. And the reason for that is anything else glorifies man. But faith glorifies God. Why? Because when you're trusting God, it's all about him doing it for you. And it's not about us doing a thing. And so this is the way of God. And now we're going to go just a little bit deeper and look at this third story and see how God's ways are worked out here. Jesus went into Peter's house and he saw Peter's mother-in-law. He wasn't asked to heal her. He didn't even say anything. He just touched her. That's ramping up a whole nother level. That's fantastic. God's ways have a variety of them, but there's always faith operating a situation, and Jesus had the faith there. So when evening comes, again, we see that all these people who are demon-possessed are brought to Jesus, and we see there that he casts out the spirits with a word. Again, people have moved from God's will through God's ways, and they've gone to the point where, yes, I just need to hear a word, and Jesus just speaks one word, and the demons are cast out. What do you think that word was? Out! You're not staying in there any longer. Years and years ago, there used to be when God was reviving the gifts of the Spirit, and people were starting to use gifts of discernment and casting demons out. It got to a point where people were having conversations with demons. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Jesus does it once. The best thing to do is just say, out. Be done with it. Get on with it. Get on with it. And so, we see this passage reach a crescendo in verse 17. We find out that all this was to fulfill one thing. And it fulfills it in spectacular fashion. Look at the few words before verse 17. Jesus drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. It doesn't say Jesus healed most of the sick, or Jesus healed the deserving sick. It said Jesus healed all the sick. And we have a great biblical truth that is this: anyone who comes to Jesus in faith is healed. Anyone, Roman centurion or Jew, who comes to Jesus, they were all in Jesus' presence, they were all coming to him, they were all in communication with him, speaking to him. Anyone who comes to Jesus is healed. He never turned anyone away for healing. Turn some people away for salvation, you notice that? Turned away a rich young ruler. Didn't turn away anyone who was sick, and he won't turn you away. Isn't that good news? Anything less than that is bad news. Anything less than that is undermining news. Anything less than that is doubtful news. Anything less than that is unhelpful news. It's just being like the doctor who says, no, leave it for a week, and then you go next door and find a better doctor. Jesus is the best doctor. And it builds up to this fantastic statement where Isaiah confirms that Jesus is the Messiah. And he says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Ultimately, we see that in the cross of Christ. But this explains to us the way of God. The way of God is not that he just speaks a word to you and your sickness goes. It is not that he just stops the sickness in its tracks. It is that he actually takes your sickness and puts it on himself. I don't know a single doctor on this planet that wants to feel my pain, that wants to know my suffering, that wants to identify with every part of my being such that he will not just become sin for me, he will also take my sickness on himself. You know what that's like. You know that sense as a parent. When you see your child laid out, what do you say? I wish I could have that instead of them. Don't you say that? I've said that, and I'm powerless to do that. But Jesus isn't powerless. The way of his healing is his love for us. The way of his healing is his mercy towards us. The way of his healing is compassion to us. And so it is so cruel when someone says, God doesn't want to heal you today. It's so wicked when someone says, you might not be healed because of something you've done. It doesn't come from the heavenlies. It comes from the earthlies and below the earthlies. Let no one say it to you. That is not good news at all. The word of God speaks of his love and mercy for us. Don't let anyone sell you short. And here's the challenge for us as well. Don't even let your own experience sell you short. I have been prayed for and I didn't get well. Some of you have been prayed for and you didn't get well. Does that change God's nature? No, it doesn't, does it? Builds my faith up, keeps me coming back for more, keeps me persevering, keeps me hungering and thirsting for more. That's what it does. Just like that lady in the crowd, she pushed through and she managed to touch Jesus' hem. And I just want to encourage you, if you've been prayed for before, don't let that stop you coming forward in a minute and be praying for again. Jesus once prayed for somebody twice. Don't make a theology out of your experience. We take the theology of God's word into our experience. Psalm says, above all things, you have set your name and your word. Above all things, he has set his word. God's word about his will and us moving to his word and his will to heal, that is set above our daily experience. That's good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. God loves you. And just as he has taken your sickness, so your sin upon himself, he is about to take, for some of you, your sickness on himself. And so I want to offer you the opportunity to receive healing this morning. I'm not going to pray for you, really. I'm just going to speak God's word to you. And I believe that word brings healing. So I'm just going to ask Audrey and the music team if they will come back up. And we just want to have 10 minutes or so of worship, not to try and create some kind of emotional atmosphere to make something happen. That's just undermining to faith. We don't need that. We've got the word of God. That's enough. So if you would like to be prayed for, you know that the Lord's stirring your heart, then just come down to the front here in these chairs. If you want to play the music, that'd be great. And just come forward. I'd just love to pray with you. It won't be a really great long prayer. If your sickness is the one you've had for a long time, and in your mind it's built up into something big, it will still be a short prayer for you, because God just needs to say the word, doesn't he? He just needs to say the word. How can I say this without anyone having a go at me? If you're older among us today, but you've had something for a long time and you've had enough of it, you know, and you want God to heal you and you're open for that, you'd come as well. If you've had a sickness that's been in your body for a long time and you've got to the place, hear this really carefully, hear this. The Lord said to me this morning, and you say, I've got migraines, or this is my bad foot, or this is my whatever condition it is. I want you to hear those words that Jesus spoke and fulfilled in the book of Psalms. It actually isn't yours. It is the Lord's. He is taking your sickness off you, out of you, just like he took your sin off you and out of you. And he's not just taking it away, he's putting it on himself. That compassion is for you this morning. Perhaps from today onwards, you might not ever say that again. Identify yourself by your condition. Don't do that. It's not yours anymore. Jesus is taking your sickness upon him. There are some people who are so used to their ailments and illness that they don't even think they're ill anymore. Mm-hmm. They just accept it as part of their life. All the aches and pains that they have, they just think that's it. I did a bad thing just after New Year's Day this year. One time I woke up in the night and I decided to flip over my body, and I used my heels and my neck as a pivot point and thought it'd be great to lift the rest of my 15 stone body off the bed. Needless to say, I got a searing pain going right through the back of my neck. And I woke up in the morning and thought, oh, that's not a problem. And then a few days later in the night, I did the same thing again. Thought I'd do that little gymnastic move at about 2 a.m. And another pain went right through it. And do you know what? I had that pain for months, right up until about Easter time. And then I paid £100 to go and have 2 massages. First one was really good, but the second one was rubbish. And then I thought, I know, I'll buy one of those massages that you can put on your back that vibrates your whole body. Got that from Amazon, 30 quid. That helped a bit, but didn't get rid of the pain. Got to about the middle of early June, and I just sat on the bedside one morning and said, Lord, I hope you've enjoyed this bit of comedy of errors since Christmas. Please would you reimburse my money? And I need some mercy. I'm looking to you for some mercy. And my next fine, I haven't even told my wife, Sam, sorry, my next fine now. I can even look to the right and the left now, and I just don't have it anymore. But you know what? I was getting used to it. I was thinking, 45. That's what happens. Get used to it. Not anymore. And I just want to say to you, if you've got aches and pains, the Bible actually says you've got aches and pains, come to Jesus. So that's for you as well. What song have we got?
God, I look to you.
Look to you, that's great. Let's do that, let's sing that. And just as the music is playing, we're singing, just make your way down the front and I'm just going to lay hands on you and the Lord will do his work.
God, I look to you.
Let's all stand together and sing Worship the Lord.
Give me wisdom to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
See things like you do.
God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from.
You pray me and Sam.
Give me wisdom. To see
Lord Jesus, we thank you for healing. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Lord,
thank you for your healing right now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. You're working. You're working. Something deep within the side is welling up, Lord, within our lungs and our heart, right in the stomach. In the stomach. Thank you. You're working right there now, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You're working.
Forever, all my days.
The Lord's doing something in this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in the stomach. Thank you, Lord. You're doing that. Thank you, Jesus. Digestion. Focus on me, child. Focus on me. Focus on me. Don't look to the left or to the right. That only brings confusion. Look to the left. Don't look to the left or the right. Look to me alone. Look to the Lord alone. Thank you, Jesus. Just take that confusion away. Take that confusion away. Thank you, Lord. Those comparisons just die away. Thank you, Jesus. See the Lord, your head going from left to right, left to right, and watch you to focus right on him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your healing.